Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. And follow along as I read the first 14 verses. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pain. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." As we come to this section in Matthew's gospel, we come to what is known as the fifth great discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this last discourse, which he has here, it's for the disciples only. There are five great discourses, which we say, that Jesus gave to his disciples alone. There's one which is called the discourse, which we just got finished in chapter 23, is what's going to take place between the time when he goes to the cross and between the time his imminent return will come upon the face of the earth. So here Jesus, now he's telling them that they need to be aware of what will take place. Now this is the largest great discourse. It takes up chapter 24 and chapter 25. And after this, Jesus speaks no more to the people. As a matter of fact, you will find as you go to chapter 26, he's taken and locked up and then going on his way as the days go to even go to the cross to be put to death by them. But now in this, he is warning his disciples of what's going to take place. You notice here, first of all, we have the setting. And it comes to us in verses 1 to 3. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. And then in verse 3, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things shall happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" First of all, as we think of the setting, Jesus and his disciples have now left the temple compound. It is believed that he may have been on his way back to Bethany. You notice as we come in this period, he stayed overnight in Bethany and came back in the next day and came into the temple and he began all this preaching there. And so now it's believed that he left, but this is earlier than he left the other time, though there's a long period that he stayed in the temple on this last time when Jesus was preaching, as we saw all of it, on Tuesday, and it's believed this is still Tuesday, and now Jesus now, but he leaves the temple, and he's going away, and it's believed that he may be heading back to Bethany. His disciples spoke with amazement about the great structure of the temple and all the buildings that they're seeing there. You know, as we look at the temple, it is a great edifice and what's going taking place there. And it could be that since Jesus told them that it was going to be destroyed, that basically it would become desolate. Remember in chapter 23, no longer would there be any religion for Jerusalem, meaning the state of the Israel itself, no longer would be there. It would be left. It would be nothing. And so it's believed that as they were walking away, probably still near the temple, maybe even in the temple, passing throughout of it, the disciples looked at it and said, wow, look at this. And it couldn't register in their minds that this one day will be totally, you know, no worship whatsoever of God in this temple. How would that ever come to play to stay? They couldn't understand that. But Jesus even tells them something else. He tells them when they look at that, they say, look at these buildings and all this beauty here. And Jesus says in verse 2, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down. Now Jesus is adding, he said already that it will be desolate in chapter 23, but now he's saying the whole thing is going to be destroyed. It's going to be nothing, no more. There'll be nothing there. Now we know that there is a portions of it left even to this day, but Jesus was saying the whole thing was going to come to nothing. No more worship in the temple. No more worship for the Jews. And I mentioned last Lord's Day. And if you see what Christ said today, there's no way no one can say that Christ is coming back to save the Jews. Your house is left to you desolate. It's gone. There was no longer, I will be pointing my focus upon the nation of the Jews. It will be to all peoples. And Jesus is going to show this in this very chapter. And so he says this to them. And now the disciples, they're looking at this. Remember, this is the setting. They're hearing, remember what he's saying. And then it goes, and Matthew writes to us, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, now, it's believed that they move from there, their distance away, up upon a hilly surface there, and they can look back upon Jerusalem, and what they see this great temple there. And he's looking at it, and this is the scene, and when he looks there, and he sees that there, and his disciples says to him, asking the question in this verse, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now notice what they do. They put together that the desecration of the temple is going to be with Messiah's coming also, and it's coming back. And they put everything. It looks seems like one event to them. And really what he's asking, they were asking of him, they want to know what is going to happen. What really is going to take place? And they are asking about the whole idea of the history of Jerusalem and what's going to happen to the temple. Mark writes for us in 13:3, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew were questioning him privately. So they were concerned about the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem, and they thought that his return and the end of the age would take place all at the same time. Jesus' word must have been a very deep given of what a very deep impact to the disciples. You and I can only understand that if we were in that day. The temple, Jerusalem, was the glory and the great hope of Israel. And that Jesus say it's all going to be gone. It's going to be taken away. It's not going to exist anymore. No more worship there. And then we come to the second part. He said, the warnings of coming events, Jesus mentioned to it. He shows us, this is in verses 4-8. And so in answer to them, we find in verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Now, Jesus is not actually going and giving them an answer to their question. When will this thing happen? When will be your return? He's doing something else. He is not looking at his return here. He's looking out now what's going to take place during this period. What's going to happen before he even comes back again? So he's telling them, he's saying to you, you who are my disciples, you are going to have some things you're going to go through once I'm gone. But I want you to hear and understand these things. See to it that no one misleads you. He says here, be careful, be very careful. Do not let anyone deceive you. Keep your heart and mind open to the truth so that you will not be deceived. Now, this is the first message he said to you. Make sure you keep everything right in your mind. Don't let anyone come and tell you any of your thing. And he says why in verse 5. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Here is Jesus telling his disciples, yes, there is the thing about the end coming, but before the end comes, you're going to go through a lot of things. And one of the things you're going to go through is there are going to be those who come and say that they are Christ. He or she is the Christ. He is telling them that there will be false Christs who will say they are the one, the true one, the one who's come back. And no doubt Jesus is now pointing to the fact that after he is now on a cross and he dies and he goes into heaven, there'll be all these guys who are coming around and say, I'm the Christ, I have returned. And all these false prophets and all these false teachers will lead people astray. He's saying that's what's going to happen. The horrible truth of what he is saying is that there are many who are misled by false doctrine and will prove in the end that they were never true sheep of Christ. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Now the many there, he is not talking about misleading Christians. A true child of God cannot be misled by a false Christ who comes along. But there are those professing Christians, and Jesus is saying, here is a very plain of Christianity right now. You see a great plain, and all who are there, they got the tag of Christians on there. But they're going to be those who are going to come in. They're going to claim to be great teachers. As a matter of fact, the resurrected Christ, the one who comes now to the people, they're going to say they are the one. But they're going to be misled. Who are going to be misled? Many people who think they are Christians will be misled. This is what he says. So he's saying now, I want you to be on guard. Make sure no one misleads you. But that's not all he tells them. He goes on. Notice in verse 6. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. For those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. He says now, during this period, I'll be gone away. And all the way. And most of the commentators look that Jesus is talking about the entire period. Right now is the period also he's talking about right now. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not the end. Wars and rumors of wars. There will be wars throughout the history of the world, he's saying. And we know that to be true, brother, because it's taking place already. See that you are not frightened, he said. Don't let these things cause you to sway and tilter and come off the truth of who Christ is. Because these things are taking place, it does not mean that Christ's purpose and what Christ has come to do and what he will do has not changed. It is still on its mark. Those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. Those are not a sign of the end of the world, is what he's saying. You ask me this question about when will be the end, but those things that I'm telling you right now, they do not point to the end. That's not the end. And then he says, and he goes on, notice in and verse 7. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famine and earthquakes. So he's saying all these things which will take place, all these catastrophes, nations and kingdoms will be fighting even to the end of time. They will. Therefore, you cannot predict the end of the world by looking at something that's happened in any particular period of time. He says, don't even look at that. Catastrophic events are going to take place. Famines and earthquakes. Nor can you gauge the end of natural disaster or the world by natural disaster. None of these things will be a thing that you look at to find out. Remember, when will the end of the age come? Jesus said, you're going to go through a lot of things, and you're going to see the world going through a lot of things. But don't look at these things and try to gauge, oh, this must be the end of the world right now. Then he makes a statement in verse 4, a statement in verse 8. He says, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. These are nothing but the beginning. It's on the way. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Everything that has been mentioned, he's saying up to this point, wars between nations and kingdoms, famines and earthquakes. Historically, there has been a great number of wars up to our date. Nations have gotten larger, and weaponry has gotten more devastating and cruel. And maybe natural disasters are worse because of greater populations of people in some of the areas. If some of the people hadn't been moved in certain parts of California, many homes may have been burned down in the forest fires. But he says these are nothing but birth pains. The pain or sorrow is saying the beginning of sorrows that will come upon mankind, but the worst is yet to come. Birth pain, and sometimes it gives us the wrong picture of what is being said here. Birth pains is what that it is bringing birth to something. Jesus is not saying here these things are giving birth to the great coming of Christ back on. He said, but these things are all the horrible things are going to happen, but the worst thing is yet to come. They only mark the beginning, not the end of what's going to come. Therefore, do not try to predict when Christ will return by these events. Don't even begin to look at that and say, well, I know the world's coming to an end now because look at these things that have taken place. How many times that we have heard so-called Christian leaders even predict these things. And notice what he says. Now he goes to verses 9 down to 14 and he says, Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Tribulation is coming, he's saying. Signs of persecution is coming upon the people of God. The church will be hated by everyone. They will deliver you over to tribulation. And brethren, we have seen this. I don't have to go into any deep teaching of this. If we turn into the New Testament, when we get right to the book of Acts, you know, Peter and John, how they were delivered up, Paul and Silas and what they went through, and Paul was put to death and all. So with all these things are going to happen, and many others, and down through Christian history, we know those in Christian history that have been burnt at the stake because of Christ Jesus. He says they will kill you. Put you to death. You're going to die because of his name's sake. So Jesus is telling them as we come to this point, you know what? This is what I want you to know more than anything. There is a rough road for Christians. This is what he's saying. You're going to suffer. They're not going to like you. They're not going to love you. They're going to do all they can because they hate my name. They hate me. And this is coming upon you. And then he says, and the horrible part about it, when he comes to there, this is what's going to come upon the church. When he says in verse 9, then they will deliver you to tribulation, will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Jesus Christ is not saying his church is going to be so protected that we will never have to worry about anything. With the people of God, Jesus said, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer through this life. This is what it's going to be. And he says, many will fall away from the faith verse 10. At that time, when these things have come upon them, false Christ and all come in the midst, at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Now, he's saying those who come into, supposedly in the pale of the Christian church, but he says that what's going to happen when these false Christs come and all things begin, they're going to start causing people to who are not really in the Lord Jesus Christ to turn away. Many who profess to love me will walk away from Christ and the gospel, which will prove that they never had genuine love for Christ in the beginning. I was watching one of the movies that I like to watch, and The Kingdom of Heaven, it's called. And then they had those, they were fighting over to keep Jerusalem, you know, and there were Christians and Muslims there and different people there, you know, but then you have this priest that was there, and he talked about the fact that, you know, this is God's, you know, and the one who was a great fighter in there, he said something about, you know, God will see us. This is the right thing to do. And one of the things they had to do, they had a lot of bodies that had been killed. And he said, you know, we have to burn these bodies. So there's one guy who was Catholic bishop, I believe. He said, if you burn them, they will not wake up in a resurrection. He said, God will not have a resurrection. And the man said, if we don't burn these bodies in 3 days, we'll all be dead. If he doesn't see this, and God doesn't understand this, then he's not God. There'll be those who are coming, he said, and they're going to say everything. They're going to have all these false doctrines. They're going to turn people away from the truth. And really what's going to happen, they're going to have people hating one another. But these who will have that done, they will be those who are brought outside of the church, is what Jesus is saying. How many heretical doctrines and how many false churches are around now even today? There are so many that call themselves the Christian churches. They are nothing but heretical teaching, but they say they're teaching Christ. They say they are the ones who have the truth and have the word of God. They have all kind of horrible teaching. They have nothing to do with who Christ really is. And here we say, Jesus, this is what is going to happen. This will take place. Many will fall away from the faith. Many will betray one another and hate one another. In Christ's true church, and those who are in the kingdom of God, they don't hate one another. They don't fight against one another. Yes, there will sin, and sin will be there until we all are given our new bodies, and we are raised up with Christ at the end. But until that time, you don't see Christians fighting. That's what Christ is saying here. This is what take place. And he says in verse 11, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. That's a frightening thing, isn't it? But it shouldn't be so frightening to us because, again, we see it. We see it. They claim to be those who love God and they have the word for you. Turn on your TVs. I guess it's the same. I don't watch. But I remember when it first came into faith, and you had all these TV programs. You had them. I could even name all of them by name, but I won't do it right now. And they're nothing but false teachers. They gave you a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. God wants you happy. He wants you to have and enjoy all this that you have here. And all they were the only ones getting happy. One is writing right now, one teach right now. Wrote a book on it. Your best life now. But sin, I can't square that with the gospel. And he smiles and talking to these bunch of people, and he tell them that, and they just drinking it in. And really, when they probably go home or whatever, and they're meeting their other relatives who are Christians, and their relatives say, no, that's not right. Man, they get mad with them then. They don't want to have anything to do with them. Turn them loose. Many false teachers, false prophets. Verse 11, they will mislead you. And he says the reason why in verse 12, because lawlessness is increasing. Most people's love will grow cold. Because lawlessness is increasing. There will be many who will pretend to be teachers and preachers of the gospel that are wolves in sheep clothing. They are those who will find themselves, their purpose will be to draw people away. Lawlessness, really iniquity, transgression of the law. It is God's law that no longer has the hold on the hearts of those. And the minds are not carried by God's law. They are professing Christians, but they really do not follow the law of God. And he says that lawlessness will increase, will abound, will multiply, because transgression will be increased. The hearts of many will be turned away from Christ and from his people. They will have nothing to do. They will not be those who are following along with what Christ has to say. And he says and goes on in verses 13 and 14, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. The sign of true faith he's showing us here in verse 13. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Endures means to persevere, to endure or to remain under. And Christ is pointing this to all that's going to take place, all that's going to be the reality for the Christian living in the world. All this will be coming upon him or her. And he says the one who can hold up under this, that is the one who will be saved. That is the one who will hang on to the end. Endures means to have a perseverance, to be able to fight. He that continues under all the persecutions to walk in a consistent life of faith to the end, that is the end of life for that one who is being saved, because we don't think anyone's going to walk to the end, and that is the end of the age when Christ should come back. But there will be some living at that particular time. But for us speaking today, now we don't know the day or the hour, but basically he's saying you must endure. You must hold on. And then he says the gospel will continue to be preached to the whole world. Verse 14. The duration of the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. The gospel of the kingdom. There was one man who said the gospel is no longer to be preached. You know, and then years ago, and we need to turn away from the churches. No, Christ says the gospel will be preached. The message of the kingdom of heaven, the salvation, that salvation is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And those who are saved enter into his spiritual kingdom. The good tidings of God to the nations is what's going to be preached. He said, and it shall be preached to the whole world. We're not sure if that means every single little nation all around the world, but it will be preached throughout the world. It's going to circle this globe. And Christ says this is the very thing it's going to preach. And notice what he says. This gospel will be of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, as a testimony, a public affirmation of the precepts of God. This is what the gospel is. As a witness, the message of God concerning his Messiah and the salvation only through him. That's going to be preached. How people react to the gospel will be decisive. There will be no second chance. One of the commentators say people have this whole idea that, you know, well, Christ's going to return. He's going to set up this whole new kingdom, and the Jews are going to be called in, and those who never came, they have a second chance to come up. No, Christ is not saying that. No second chance. This would be a witness. Those who reject the testimony will be condemning themselves that they are those who reject the true life of God and actually made the gospel a lie. Look at it as a lie. The one who turns it down pronounces his or her own damnation. And he said this gospel is going to be preached to all the nations. The gospel will be preached throughout the world. He says, and then, or we can say, not until then, That is, the gospel preaching will continue until it has reached every nation that is on the very scheme of God's plan, how far the gospel is going to go. And that's what he's going to do, and he will preach. And brother, when you think of it, you think the fact that God, Christ has his elect. There's some that may not even been born yet, but they're coming into the world. The gospel is going to be preached where that elect will wind up at. Even in some area where there's not the sophistication of life that we have now, someone is already on God's plan to be raised up and to come in here to be born in that area. That one is going to hear the gospel. God is not going to end this until he saves everyone that Christ has died for. And he says, and then the end will come. This is completely against the evangelists who believe he knows the signs of the times and attempts to prove that a certain war, earthquake, or famine based on prophecy is the infallible sign of the Christ's return or his imminent return. You see, this right here proves Christ is coming. And history had many who said that, but yet they had to keep changing the dates because they didn't know, but they claimed to know. The intended scope of the preaching of the gospel is the determined factor of the end of the world. Jesus said that. Now, I want to say this part, now the disciples asked Jesus about his return. But Jesus here is not answering the question to his return or what's going to happen to Jerusalem. He's telling them at this point what's going to happen to the Christians, what's going to happen to the church. This is what he focused on here. And he's going to pick up more as he goes on further then. But I have these two main applications for you this morning, and I really wanted to save them to the end because there's much given to us here. The first application, if you notice, if you look at verse 6, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. See that you are not frightened. Or don't be afraid. Jesus says in verse 5, many will come to mislead people away from the truth by saying, I am the Christ. And he will mislead many. False Christs and false teachers flood the nations. Their main purpose is to lead people away from the true gospel of Christ. And he says, when you see them coming, don't be afraid. Many other things will take place in this period. Wars and rumors of war. Nations will rise up against nations. Famines and earthquakes. This is the message for us today, dear people. The unsettled condition of the nations of the world is right before us. The news is telling us all that's taking place and how this nation, as one trying to make all the peace with other nations, Russia rattling its swords, China and what it's doing, what it believes it's done as far as this COVID-19 is concerned. In the Middle East, what they want to do. Everybody wants to come against each other and be the great power of the world. The devastating events of nature, earthquakes, tornadoes, diseases, COVID-19. Don't be afraid. Jesus is saying, you have nothing to fear because I am the one. I am the one who's saying this. Remember, people, I'm just preaching you Jesus' word. Jesus is saying to you, don't be afraid. And as we look at it, who is he who's saying, don't be afraid? It's God himself, the Son of God. He's the one in heaven right now. He's controlling all things. And he's saying to each one of us as his child, don't be afraid. He has our safety in his hands. Whatever comes to us is going to come to us for the purpose what he has it stored for. And so we need not fear. Whatever happens to us, and if we truly belong to him, he's going to bring us into his very kingdom at the end, in that heavenly kingdom. He's going to bring us when we have to walk through death, we will be with Christ. Let us not look at the things that's going on around us and be fearful and wondering how we're going to live through it. Jesus is saying, this is not for the Christian. Oh, how many things cause us to come to the place where we are wondering, How are we going to get through? How are we going to make this and make that? Well, he says, don't be afraid. We live in a world, and we have to have the commodities of this world. We need those things to live by. We wonder if we have enough money, some people, to take care of the things that need to be taken care of. Our health is another thing that comes to us. But he says, don't be afraid. Christ is saying that to you. Don't be afraid. Don't let none of these things bring you to a point where you're so fearful you don't know what's going to happen. When we do that, we take our eyes off Christ and the one who is in charge of all things, the one who is working everything out. Dear child of God, he has you in his protection. And he's saying to you, nothing will touch you unless I have ordered it to do so. And if God, Christ, has ordered it to touch us, there's a purpose behind it. And that purpose is for our good. So we can take what he says here. Be not frightened, or don't be afraid when these things take place. Here we are living in this age right now. Don't be afraid. The world seems like it's going to pot. All kinds of shooting and everything is taking place in the streets. People are being killed. Horrible things are taking place. What should you and I do? Go hide somewhere? No, don't be afraid. The one who walks with us is greater than any who walks on the face of the earth. He's the one who protects us. He's the one who will keep us. The second application I have with that, and look, it comes to us in verse 13. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. The one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This takes us back to verse 9. They will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you and will be hated by all nations because of my name. When all this is going on in the church, there are some who's going to endure. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. But you must endure to the end. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. But if you endure to the end, that's the very thing he's saying. The one who endured to the end, Christians will be killed and you will be hated because you follow Christ. This took place in the first century. The disciples, again, Peter, John, and Paul, also around the world, many foreign lands are being put to death, many in foreign lands, because of the gospel. We can go back to the ancient days when those Polycarp and all those and how they were burnt at the stake. And he says, but don't be afraid. You will endure to the end, excuse me. Many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Dear people, that is the test of time. There are those who say they love Christ right now, but what will be their situation when things get a little rougher for them? And he says, because lawlessness is increasing, the hearts of many will be turned away from Christ and his people because they no longer believe and follow God's law. You see, people, when we pray loose and fancy with God's law, when we decide to take what part of the Bible that we like or we want to follow and the other one we don't want to follow, we are in a bad place. When we decide this is the best way we think Christianity ought to be, or we say we don't like that portion of it, we are now doing what he was saying. Our hearts are at the point of growing cold, dear people. Now, we as true Christians can fall under that and be under false teaching. But as we are those who love Christ and following his truth, God will bring us through that. And we will not be those who will lose it. But here he says, because of lawlessness, because of the lack of the love of God's law, because we turn away from God's word, God's word tells us how we should live. He tells us what sin is, what area of our lives ought to be brought to the touchstone of God's truth, and how our lives have to come into the very course line of cohesion with God's law and walk and live according to God's law, not to decide this is too hard for me right now. What are we going to do with it, dear people, is really the case. And he's saying, because of lawlessness, because we come to the point where we deal kind of loosely with the law of God, the heart grows cold. And that's what happens. You and I should see this as a message for us today. Where are we today? Where are we right now, dear people? Are you, are we deciding what part of God's word we will follow, and what we will hold on to, what we will look as truth, and what we will look at, and we don't want that, what we're going to apply to guide our lives? If we're doing that, we should be those who say, oh, God, help me right now. I remember as a young man coming in, beginning to understand some of the truth and basically reading some of the great theological books. One picked up this one book and I was reading it. It was telling me, I can't remember the subject right now, but it explained the subject to me. And I scratched my head. I said, I don't understand this. But I didn't say I didn't believe it. Well, I didn't understand enough to believe it. I said, I'll get back to this later. About 3 or 4 years later, I picked up the same book and read it. It came clear as day to me. And brother, that's what we have to do. Lord, I don't understand it right now, but I'm not throwing it off. If you say it in your word, let me see. And let me apply it to my life. And here Jesus is saying, first of all, he speaks to his disciples as his church. And he says, this is the thing you must understand. You're going to go through these things. And as you go through these things, stand firmly with God and with his word. And then you'll find yourself living to the glory of God. But he's telling us, brethren, it's going to be a test. The world itself and what we're going through is going to test our faith. Not only just the world, as we see all the wars and earthquakes and famine are going to test our faith, but there are going to be false teachers who are going to come. And they're going to tell us things that we should do and how we should follow God. And we got to be those who endure to the end. Let us pray. Our blessed God in heaven, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord Jesus Christ, to see and understand even your scriptures, what you've given for us. And as we can go through this 24th chapter of Matthew, and you telling us and you're giving us much to contemplate upon here in this very passage we looked at this morning. But we pray, our Father, that you don't leave it just to our minds to take it in and to decide which parts to understand, which sides to apply to our lives. But Lord, let us be those who rest in you and ask that the Holy Spirit be the one who teaches and guides us and show us how these particular things happen in our lives even today. We are individuals, dear God, and it may affect us in different ways, but Lord, teach us, help us to know and understand this is what is now coming to each one of us. But let us stand firm, fear not, be not afraid of these things that come. And may it be, oh God, we can say, and you will say to us, you have endured to the end. Hear and answer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.